Before we started recording, I was just like, oh, I'm just worried this might get all of us off on a lot of long rants and tangents and down long rabbit holes and sort of go over the place. And it started the second we hit record, and it didn't stop until we got to the end. So this is for our true listeners.
Profits have hit a record high, and you've all worked overtime to make it happen. So it's time to be rewarded with a corporate pizza party. The podcast taking you inside the highs and lows of corporate America, hosted by Dan Space, Farah Sharghi, and Mike Petito. We couldn't afford bonuses this year, but sit back and enjoy the next best thing.
Welcome back for another corporate pizza party, a very special corporate pizza party. We're recording this one at nighttime. This is corporate pizza party after dark.
Get ready to listen.
Get ready to listen.
We're doing an ASMR episode?
I did ASMR TikTok once. I don't know if anyone remembers that or ever saw it. I did ASMR job interviews, and I was just like being silly because I just recorded a video about like the thing I could get rid of out of anything on TikTok is ASMR. Mm-hmm. And so then I was just like rubbing the microphone in my beard, and I was just like, why do you want to work here? And just like doing stuff like that. And it got like 1,200 views because TikTok was like, no. No one wants to be exposed to this. We're not going to show this to people. And all these comments were just like, I'm suing you. How dare you make me listen to this video?
How do I delete someone else's content?
Mike, if it makes you feel any better, I made a dancing video, which I think I've done like once before in the 3 years I've been on TikTok, and it's got like 1,900 views.
Yeah, like, TikTok knows whatever. Sometimes TikTok just protects you. And it's like, no, I'm not going to push one out for you. You're going to regret it if this gets big. So thank you for that, TikTok.
Yeah. This is a brand.
Oh, yeah. This is like the welcome to our episode. We were just talking before recording about how sometimes we get on rants and really derail the episode. And I'm happy to say this is the quickest that has ever happened. So let's get back on track. Dan, good evening. Tell us about yourself.
I can't. I signed an NDA.
Beautiful. Perfect. No follow-up questions. Works every time you have the job. Farah, tell us about yourself.
Hey, everyone. I'm Farah Sharghi. I'm a technical recruiting leader turned now career coach / resume writer just because the market sucks. And I'm actually really happy I don't have to do performance reviews this year, which is a topic we're definitely going to dive into. Thank you, Dan. Happy to report I did grab donuts this morning. I went to Bob's. I had a chocolate with sprinkles. I got a glazed one waiting for me. So I'm a happy camper. Mike, why don't you tell us about yourself?
What can I tell you about myself that isn't hidden behind an NDA? I had a day. It's been a goofy day in my life, and it's fun recording with all of you. I'm happy to be here. And I've had a day arguing with a lot of people today, as I guess I tend to, which is something as we were talking before even hitting record. We really got into the issue and the topic of something that I want to preface. So that for those of you who shut this off in the middle because you're like, fuck those people and they're whining about it, I do want to preface, there are a lot of bad people out there in our field, of course, just like all fields, and people do have it much worse. I do understand that job searching is very hard. I've been on the market myself. In fact, all of us have been on the market and had to job search within this job market and know what it's like. That being said, recruiters and HR cannot win, and sometimes we just want to say, you know, it's not all my fault.
First off, I think we have to say hi to Nicole, my sister, who's become a dedicated new listener. So hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hopefully we're still on the air by the time this episode drops. But she's been giving me feedback, and she actually just sent over a topic she would like us to cover. So Nicole, on another topic, we'll do that. So this was my topic specifically because one of the downsides to being a recipient of negative energy is that feel when you try to defend yourself, you almost can't because you're like, oh, well, you're just being defensive. And so being an HR business partner who has to understand what recruiting does and knows it intimately, but is not a recruiter, the level of vitriol and venom that recruiters are beholden to has reached me very new heights. And I took a look over the last week, especially when recruiters I've started seeing now just posting themselves, which is great because they're like the one role that can't post on LinkedIn without being dogpiled on. And I counted like with between 12 different recruiter posts, there was not one in which a commenter didn't bring up ghosting. And which essentially they had to center the topic on ghosting. And what was so funny was as almost as a meta commentary where I said, recruiters are not even allowed to talk about something on their own without someone bringing up ghosting. Three commenters brought up ghosting. And it's like there's no one here that thinks that ghosting feels good. Then, of course, we want the great candidate experience. But recruiters are paid by the company. They're paid to source fill roles, in many cases, up to 20 to 25 recs that could have 20 to 30 candidates at a time. In many cases, they have no update to give, and there's just no pleasing everyone. You know, people were complaining, it's ghosting if I don't even get a response to my applications. Not like they get rejected from the application. Well, you know, I didn't like the way that that was phrased. I didn't like the fact that I got it at 7 p.m. at night. I didn't like the fact I got it on a Saturday. I didn't like the automated message. I want a personal message. Oh, the personal message now sounds too condescending because it starts with, although you're very skilled. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, recruiters are there to help source talent for companies. They are not there to try and make every single person feel good with a process that is designed specifically to be against all of us just based on probability.
Well, you hit everything. Next topic.
Yeah, boom, that's it. Well, my ask is of our 100 or so listeners, in addition to Nicole, and I know this is big in Barbados, is the next time you see a recruiter post on LinkedIn, try to avoid the urge of trying to bring up ghosting. My general rule of thumb has been to anyone that brings up ghosting is I'll say, I'm sorry that that happened to you. It happened to me too. The one person I told that I did not like that they ghosted me was the recruiter who ghosted me. Because that way that was direct information. I am sick and tired of people saying that it's good for people to air their grievance on LinkedIn because it helps build dialogue. It does not. It becomes a venting session and it becomes a punching bag to the recruiter who now has to feel like they have to be held accountable for every single recruiter, every single action.
Yeah. I have a perfect example of this. I am constantly trying to improve myself at this job. I'm constantly trying to learn what people want, especially in this job market. I work in a role where it's very important to me to be able to do that for people. And I ran a poll one day that just said, would you rather get feedback through email or through phone? And another one on another day that said, the question is, would you rather be rejected through email, through phone after you've gone through an entire interview process? And the second question was, would you rather be told during the interview if the person knows you're not moving forward, or later on in an email so that you're not getting that news in live time? And both of these polls were full of multiple comments that just said, I don't care as long as you don't ghost me. I'm just like, fine, but I'm collecting information here. Like, this ghosting isn't an option here, right?
I'm sorry, but the reality is, as Dan pointed out, companies are the ones who employ recruiters. Recruiters are there to assist the business. Same goes, like, as a recruiter, I support my hiring managers in hiring, but I don't report to my hiring managers. I report to the business. I am there to make business money. If a hiring manager is acting a fool and doing some dumbass shit, like making a candidate answer questions that their own team can't solve, which, by the way, I've gotten a few of those stories recently. I don't know if we're going to go down that rabbit hole. And it's like, what are you doing, right? So me as a recruiter, again, I care about the business. When it comes to the topic of complaining about recruiters on LinkedIn, about ghosting, I have a little bit of life advice here. Whenever you complain about anything and saying like, you're preventing me from getting a job, or like, oh, you know, I don't know how exactly to articulate this in a way that doesn't come off sounding really bad, but when you blame an applicant tracking system, you're blaming a recruiter for whatever the reason is. They ghost, I don't pass, da 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 da. You are giving your power away. You are saying it's someone else's fault and responsibility to get me a job. No, 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 no. Don't give your power away. Take your power back and say, okay, you know what? Ghosting happens. That's fine. There's plenty of fish in the ocean. There's plenty of jobs out there. I'm going to get the one that's right for me. And you're going to find the one that's right for you. Don't sit there and go, well, the recruiter sucks and this and that. No, none of that matters. At the end of the day, what matters is, are you prepared for your interviews? And are you, like, when you use like a generalized resume to get a job and then you get the job and you realize the job is crap, because, oh, wait, you weren't communicating your value effectively on your resume and they knew they could take advantage of you. Guess what? You gave your power up. So why not have a resume that is directly pointed at how you are an asset to that business because you're going to make them money? If you can't communicate that on your resume, they know they could take advantage of you. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. Thank you for listening.
We are on one today, all of us.
There's going to be no edits to this. We're going to raw dog this one.
I got to be honest, only like 5% of that was about ghosting, and I kind of feel like you defended ghosting. I don't even know what was... I want to be very clear. I don't think Farrah was defending ghosting or saying ghosting doesn't happen.
No, I agree with what Farrah was saying. And I used to say this in some of my earlier TikToks, especially during the Great Resignation, where I said, let's put it all on the table. Ghosting sucks. And as an don't think that we are not immune to it. I had the recruiter that ghosted me for 5 months after I'd accepted a role all of a sudden follow up to say, oh, let's give an update on this role that you interviewed for 5 months ago without even noticing the fact that she had dropped all contact for 5 months. But it happens. But you have to go in eyes wide open that this is, again, like the house has all the odds. Like, this is the worst time to ever play blackjack. Like, all the probability and statistics are all stacked against us. So you just try to increase your probability and statistics, and you find roles in companies in which you are the most valuable candidate, and you will be absolutely assured that you will not get ghosted. But it also just seems to me like there's just no way of winning, because as many posts as I see that used to complain about ghosting now on LinkedIn, now I'm seeing people complain about the method that they were told that they were not selected. It's a weekend. It's at night. It was too informal. It tried to condescend to me. And I'm like, oh, well, you know what? There's just no pleasing anyone. And I get it and I feel bad. But there's almost this time where I kind of agree with Farrah of just not giving away that. And I'm just saying, I interviewed, I did my best. If they contact me, they contact me. But I'm moving on until I hear something otherwise.
Yeah, I want to say a couple of things. I don't know that I feel we're downplaying a little bit here how much people do get ghosted and how many people who are qualified for a job get ghosted by like good companies. Like, I think right now we're putting a little bit too much illness on the job seeker to say like, don't interview at a place you're going to get ghosted, or like, be so good they're not going to ghost you, because like, we're really good and we get ghosted when we job search. Like, it's not as easy as that. So it's just like, for any of you right now who just sort of heard that, was like, did they just say like it was my fault? No. But I do think the takeaway is just like, companies treat their top candidates like their top candidate. And that's where I think the lesson is. But it can't be said that like you deserve to be ghosted or weren't good enough to be ghosted or anything along that line. But yeah, I make content like this all the time too that just says like, it's like, I remember I made a video that one time was just like, it's a Friday afternoon of a holiday weekend. If you have not heard back from the company, like, that was their conscious choice this weekend, because I'm spending this Friday catching up with every single person. And if they're not, they're doing that on purpose. And it's the same idea I tell people, like, what should I do? Like, what do I do? I haven't heard back in a week, in 2 weeks, 4 days, whatever. I'm just like, if they wanted to, they would. And that sounds callous, right? It's sort of the same rules as dating, though, that just like, how many texts are you going to send that person who after the first date said they'd call you and hasn't called you? Like, are you going to keep texting them every day, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later? Like, of course not. And I think when you say that, it comes off like you're defending the act of it. But no, it's telling you, like, keep your wits about you, maintain your energy of where it is, because it did happen. And we can't go back in time and change it. And unless you plan on like showing up to the office and like doing something about it, like, and asking them to their face why they did, like, save your energy. You're not, someone commented on a video of mine once and said, when I keep following up, it's not about thinking if I'm going to get the job. I want them to feel guilty for what they did. And I told them, I was just like, they don't. They're not replying to you. Like, if you're not going to guilt them into, they should feel guilty, but they don't. You're wasting your time right now.
So just, and I think if I did come off that way, that was awful, because I feel bad for anyone that goes, and I know how the job search goes, and I know how much silence hurts and how much silence can be stressful. It's more, you have the conscious choice of letting it bother you to the degree that you do, to such degree to Mike, of your example of someone who's just going to consistently follow up because they're still carrying that with them, whereas the company has moved on. And this is no way to defend the company. It's no way to defend the fact of silence. But coming from a privileged place of being on the inside from it, I don't know of one recruiter who's like, huh, that Andrew, he's not going to hear from me again. It's because you're so overwhelmed. There's so many things happening at any given time. And over the last year, I've seen, as a way to try to prevent layoffs from impacting recruiters, and I've worked with two companies that are trying to do this, of trying to give recruiters more work during off season so that their jobs are protected. And now they have projects, now they have other responsibilities. Even so, when recruiting starts again, I have never seen one person as a recruiter make ghosting personal. It is not a, so you know what? This was this one person I didn't like. It is almost always just fallen between the cracks. It's always like there was some sort of tech issue. A sorcerer didn't get back. Sometimes they filter down the work to recruiting coordinators. Sometimes they don't do it. Sometimes it's in your spam folder. And it's just a matter of not seeing it as a personal attack on you.
Totally. And I will say, on as a recruiter, I get ghosted by candidates. And what I usually do is, so as a recruiter, if I'm getting ghosted by a candidate who's well into the process, and I really like this candidate, after maybe the second or third email I send them, I say, listen, it's okay if you don't want to move forward in our process, or if you want to decline or withdraw, that's fine. Just let me know, because there are other candidates that I want to move forward, and I can't until I know what's going on with you. Then I get a response. So if somebody wants to email a recruiter, use that type of format and say, hey, it's okay if you don't want to move me forward, or you can't make me an offer, or some, or there's frozen headcount, whatever it is, I would just appreciate some form of communication letting me know what's going on.
Yeah. And it's way worse as the candidates get ghosted, but Farrah is absolutely right. Because candidates say this all the time, well, what happens if it happened to you? Like, it does, don't worry. But you're right, I move forward. Like, if it happens to me on an interview, I send one email and I say, hey, looks like this time didn't work. Would you like to reschedule? Let me know. And I do not follow up, and that's that. I try and give them the benefit of the doubt, because humans are humans, and sometimes people come back and there was a mistake or whatever. Fine, I will reschedule. But I'm not going to beg you to reschedule. And it's the same way that, like, you should not be begging these companies to get back to you. But what I do not do is show up on a job seeker's post on LinkedIn when they talk about having an interview and say, well, what about the candidates who no-show interviews? Because that would make me seem unhinged.
Totally.
And I realize that's probably a worse example than like a job seeker doing it, for sure. But it is the point. Listeners, what stemmed this conversation was like a few things. But this stemmed from, like, in my TikTok comments today, for multiple days in a row, a follower was showing up on multiple of my videos. And no matter what the video was about, just saying, like, what about ghosting? Ghosting should be illegal. You should be fired if you ghost. Until you fix ghosting, we can't take anything you say serious. And I just asked them, like, who are you yelling at? What do you think I do? I didn't ghost you. And I don't speak for all recruiters. It's just like, you don't speak for all whatever you do. Like, what's happening right now?
I wanted to give a special shout out to somebody that Mike and Dan and I have recently been following on LinkedIn. His name is Robert People. He's a proposal writer. And dear God, thank you for this man. He is a blessing to all recruiters and hiring managers. And again, he's a proposal writer. His posts are just like chef's kiss. Mwah. Like,
he's an army veteran. Thank you for your service, Robert. You're a wonderful human. I actually wanted to bring you up on this episode as well.
Like, I screenshotted all of his posts. I got to read like the first sentences of some of these. Like, here's one: applying for roles without so much as reading the job description, all caps, will not help you. Like, and then all caps, stop thinking you are the only person applying for that job. It's just reality checking people and going, stop blaming recruiters. It's like, it's not always their fault.
There's potential that people listening right now also don't know sort of like the kind of like the boiling point LinkedIn feels like it's reaching, and like why people like Robert, who are not recruiters, who are not involved, who just happen to be defending recruiters, like, are making recruiters so happy. But there is a bubbling over happening on LinkedIn especially, and like more less so on TikTok, but other places, of job seekers and recruiters feeling like we can't even exist in the same world right now. And this is where so much of this conversation is coming from.
And what I really love about Robert especially, and it's because it's kind of similar to what I mentioned before, when you're in the thing under fire, you can't defend yourself because you just appear to be defensive, and all it's going to do is raise ire. And you're essentially being asked to hold a position of nothing but sympathy for the other person, because it's the have versus the have not. And I have to consistently remind people that exchange, that enter that exchange with me, I'm not full-time employed. I'm working, I'm surviving. There's no company I'm representing by just telling you this is how it is. It's the thought process that I had, especially when I'm seeing it recently, is what I experienced my first year on TikTok, where I was asked to be the avatar of every single negative HR experience. There was someone who wrote a 9 9 paragraphs of comments detailing an extraordinarily horrifying experience regarding her manager and sexual harassment. And I decided, because in much to what Micah just said, there were 3 videos where she basically attacked me. No matter what it was, she was like, well, what about when HR does this? HR is not your friend. Clue everyone, never go to HR. And I decided to make a video, and I was, I would say 80% sympathetic, but 20% boundary of, I understand you had this really horrible experience, and I can sympathize with you as a person. I am not the HR person that was in there. The same way you would not go to a restaurant and let's say a chef gave you food poisoning, you would not go attacking other chefs. Like, there's what I'm talking about. And all of this said with the respect and honor and memorial of your experience, because I can honor that. But this is trauma dumping. I cannot be held responsible for something that happened in some sort of state I have no affiliation with 10 to 15 years ago. And the idea that people are doing this to recruiters every single day, that a recruiter cannot make any post whatsoever without someone saying, well, what about ghosting? And it drives me nuts, because I think, to Mike's point before, what if every one of you who is like in other roles, like, oh, here's this fun new thing I learned in marketing. Like, all right, well, what about when you scam kids? You know, what if when your marketing campaign deliberately
What about what Big Tobacco did to all the kids? When are you going to answer for Joe Camel?
When are all of you going to take a commitment to make sure you don't market to kids anymore? But no, yeah. we love all of you. We know this is not this is us blowing off steam. But I just want people, when you see recruiters post on LinkedIn, understand that they're not doing anything with the intent to harm you. And recruiters have had it really, really bad for the last year, especially.
Last 2 years.
Last 2 years.
Especially the last year. Yeah.
It's 2024.
I mean, I know a guy I worked with at Uber who's at Meta, got laid off from Meta. A year later, they offered him a short-term contract. And he's back, but not making as much money. Again, just not a stable job. And it's rough for recruiters. So to be like, oh, well, good for recruiters. They shouldn't be employed. Like, okay, excuse me. You want recruiters to have empathy for you, but you don't want to have empathy for them, but they should have empathy for you because you're a good person and they're not.
Yeah, I think there's a key takeaway. And it comes back to a lot of stuff we talk about, I think, with like recruiters are not the enemy of the job seeker. And I know as the job seeker, they feel like it. And I get why. And there is a level of gatekeeping. I cannot say that there is no gatekeeping by recruiters and people, because of course there is. That's who the resumes are coming through at most companies. But they're also doing their job of finding the people that most fit the role that the company or the hiring manager, whoever is looking for. They want to fill the role. They want someone great. They would love it to be you if you're qualified. If you're not, it's not going to be you. But the recruiters might feel like they're in your way. And in some cases, there are very bad ones, of course, right? But like the issue right now is like this whole system where everyone is sort of losing their jobs and being underpaid. And right, people at the top are making a ton of money while nobody else is. And the best thing that can happen for all of them is people under them are fighting. And that's essentially what's happening here. It's the same idea of, when you debate remote versus not remote work, surely at some point a blue collar worker will show up and just say, well, you know, this just proves that white collar workers are overpaid and this and that. And my response is, hey, what if blue collar and white collar workers all were paid well and could like do the things that make them happy in life? All right. Recruiters and HR are not the enemy of job seekers. And I know that can feel like it sometimes, but they also want to fill the roles. If they didn't exist, there would just be someone else like not giving you the job. That would still be happening in the same way. And I think that's what we want some of this takeaway to be, of just sort of like, if you don't want to listen to a recruiter's advice, don't. But they're not just that random person. Me is not standing in the way of your job application at Google. I don't represent them in any way.
I love that. And that's really where I'm so glad you kind of like recentered us. The infighting is such a great distraction. And meanwhile, like you have the CEO of Nike who just made several billion dollars with the layoff announcement because the stock rose. Same with these are the people that made these decisions. These are the people that'll say, you know what, let me add 1,200 people into an already overextended workforce and let's hide behind false employment numbers because underemployment is not really taken under consideration because the unemployment numbers look fantastic, but it doesn't match people's experience because everyone right now is underemployed because everyone had to take side gigs, sidebar jobs to try to make ends meet because they weren't getting full-time jobs. Those are the enemies. Those are the ones that really do this, not the recruiter who didn't get back to you in 3 days or who sent an automated message at 7 p.m. on a Friday and you would have preferred it on a Monday.
I mean, I will say, to me, CEOs are like the oligarchs, right? they're the ones making bajillions of dollars. And yet, oh, we need reductions in forces and layoffs. And rather than people creating the common enemy of it being the CEOs, it's, oh, it's the recruiters. Let's divert attention to who the enemy is. Even though, like, I'm not saying CEOs are the enemy, but like, the recruiter didn't lay you off. The HR business partner, yes, they delivered the message. It wasn't their decision to make. It was leadership. Why are you bitching and moaning and like shitting on recruiters? What did they do? They didn't do a damn thing. These are the get mad at leadership. Get mad at CEOs and CFOs. They're the ones responsible for the company's success and making money. And if they're not going to make money, they're going to lay people off, or they're going to say, well, I want to pump up the stock price. Let's get rid of HR, recruiters, pump up our stock price, and then, you know, pay ourselves buku, you know, bonuses. And oh, now that the recruiters who are left know that they're not going to be able to get another job, let's pile on 2 to 3x more work than they did before. So let's overstretch them because we know they're not going to be able to leave because it's likely none of them are going to go and get jobs in another job family or vertical.
Somewhere out there is a listener who heard the line of you saying, what are recruiters doing? Not a damn thing. And is just going to take that and be like, that's exactly it. That's my entire point.
They're going to put that on every comment you make.
Let's just take it out of context, people. Like, that's
what I'm saying. Let's put that on TikTok out of context and watch it go viral. At least then people will like us. Okay. I'm going to try to wrap here. This was, what'd you say?
Like, that reminds me, I bring up a topic, but I'm joking.
Yeah, this was cathartic. I knew as soon as we got into CEOs, I was like, Farrah's going to have a lot to say, and we are not going to get this thing under 30 minutes. But that is okay, because when Farrah takes down CEOs, she takes them down. Girl. Anyway, this was cathartic, again. But I want to know, let's nail this. Let's get past the recruiter, right? You want to make a recruiter like you? This is, of course, the way. Dan, any hesitancies about this episode?
The whole goddamn thing, primarily. But other than that... I think I feel like we should call this one like an outtake. Like
something's got to air next week.
Like, this is what do we call it? Corporate pizza party unmasked.
We said it was after dark. We warned you.
That's right. After dark.
Farrah, any hesitations about this episode?
Sorry, that was great. I do not have any hesitations about this episode. I will just add one little tiny bonus tip, folks. You've heard us talk about how the poor recruiters are just getting shat on left and right. So if you want to be in a recruiter's good graces, be nice. Be nice and watch how far.
Be nice in general.
Yeah, be nice in general, but watch how far a recruiter will go for you when it comes to like prepping you for the job interview and helping you negotiate a higher salary. They'll do it. I did it all the time with candidates that were nice to me. So please just be nice. Mike, do you have any hesitancies about today's episode?
I also want to clarify there, Farrah was not saying biased hiring in that way as much as just simply being good people can do stuff for you. She was not saying she gets managers to hire the people who are the nicest to her.
I don't.
Just to be clear, hesitancies about this episode. Like Dan, the whole goddamn thing, before we started recording, I was just like, oh, I'm just worried this might get all of us off on a lot of long rants and tangents and down long rabbit holes and sort of go over the place. And it started the second we hit record, and it didn't stop until we got to the end. So this is for our true listeners. This is a fun episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And we will talk. And if not, I mean, you know, come tell us in our comments because you are already. We will see you at the next pizza party. Bye, everybody.
I love you.